Well, good afternoon and welcome to Local Education Matters. We're joined today by a Cookevillian who serves as chair of the State Board of Education. In addition to that, in her full-time capacity, Lillian Hardgrove serves as vice president for workforce development for the Highlands Initiative at the Cookeville-Putnam County Chamber of Commerce. Lillian, you're doing a lot of great things. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your radio show today.
And thanks for the good work you're doing and for taking some time to be with us.
Thank you.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. Wow, there's just so many places we could start, but probably not every listener knows you or your background. So tell us a little bit about your background, including your work at SunTrust before you joined the leadership team at the Highlands.
I'm happy to do that. It may not hurt that I also mention that once upon a time in my earlier career, I was actually in education and I taught English in a very rural part of Mississippi prior to getting married and moving to Miami, which ultimately led to me leaving education and going to work for SunTrust.
How about that?
And I worked in banking for SunTrust for 33 years, and I actually moved here in 2003 to launch SunTrust State of the Art Call Center back in 2003, and stayed in that position for 5 years prior to retiring from banking and going to work for the Highlands Economic Partnership, which, as you know, is under the umbrella of the Cookeville-Putnam County Chamber of Commerce.
And I remember your first days here in Putnam County when that great new center was being opened up, and you were in the leadership role there.
And I remember you being the president of the university and coming for a tour, a site visit.
I think so, yes.
Definitely.
I think we did. Well, tell us about after SunTrust.
So after SunTrust, and I began working for the Highlands Economic Partnership, I was hired to concentrate on economic development. And in that capacity, I was working with existing industry and trying to understand the challenges and opportunities that they were facing, and also working to try to attract new industry to come to town. But what I heard a lot of from our existing industry is that they were struggling to find the qualified workforce.
Yep.
And with us seeking to try to bring in new industry, there was certainly this conversation centered around, well, you all are trying to bring new industry and more jobs will be taken away from us, and we will have a challenge for the future with having enough skilled workforce to meet everyone's needs. This isn't going to work for the long haul. And it was just about that time that we had the downturn in the economy. And I said to George Halford, the president and CEO of the Cookeville-Putnam County Chamber of Commerce, we need to do something about it. I'm not sure exactly what that is and what that looks like, but something needs to be done or we're going to have a challenge if we're not doing something active to work on addressing why we have a shortfall in the skill sets that are needed by our employers. And from that, we actually formed a steering committee under the Cookeville-Putnam County Chamber of Commerce and the Highlands Economic Partnership to bring in employers along with K through 12 leadership and leadership from the higher education partners. And so by bringing everyone together and getting them outside of the silos, we began to have rich conversations about what we needed to do in this region, in this community, but particularly for the Highlands counties of Jackson, Putnam, Overton, and White, to address all of those challenges that were being faced by all of our employers. And so the employers were sharing their challenges, and our education partners were listening. And so decisions began to be made, because we decided, for one thing, was for sure, we weren't going to be in a boardroom or a conference room just talking about it. We were actually going to roll up our sleeves and decide on goals and objectives and move into action. And then after that steering committee was formed, we began forming subcommittees to address individual areas of need, which really led to us forming Pathways to Prosperity. And that's a whole other subject matter, which I'm happy to talk about, but I want to stop.
We will talk about Pathways to Prosperity and about the four primary focus areas. There's some cool stuff going on.
There definitely are.
Well, you also play a volunteer role at the request of two governors now to serve the state in a quite different way. So you are chairperson of the State Board of Education. Tell us what you do in that role.
It's an interesting role that I play with the State Board. First, I was asked by Governor Haslam to serve and represent the 6th Congressional District. And so I began doing that in 2014, serving a five-year term. My term was up. Actually, it's up right now. And so Governor Lee is supposed to be reappointing me, and so that's at his pleasure that I would certainly serve again. But last year in 2018, I was elected by the other board members to become the chairman of the State Board of Education. And that was because the chair at the time had been in that capacity for about 13 years, serving over 24 on the state board, and he was ready to retire.
So are you going to go for 13 years? And
I don't think I'm going to live to make it that long, because it is an incredibly serious responsibility. And a lot of people might think that the State Board of Education would be a rubber stamp and that whatever is presented to the state board is an automatic yes or an automatic vote in favor of what's being suggested by the Department of Education. So that it's important for the listeners to know that the State Board of Education has its own staff. We have our own team members who are doing a lot of research, third-party neutral research for us, and working very closely with the Department of Education when something new has to come before us. And it may be something that comes because of legislation. Certainly the legislators are passing laws all the time that are centered around education. And when that happens, the state board is then entrusted as the governing body and the policymaking and rulemaking body for Tennessee education. Then our staff members are working closely with the department to write those policies and rules centered around whatever that legislation might be. And so those then come to the state board for us to vote on. We do view items on first reading, and then we do meet quarterly, just so you know, we meet quarterly 4 times a year. And sometimes we have special called meetings, but then we'll vote again on second reading. And when we vote on second reading, then those items are ready to go through a process with the Attorney General, a vetting process before they are actually enacted and then put into place where the school districts are required then to go forward and introduce and implement whatever those new policy and rules are. So
it's a pretty complex process and obviously an essential part of state government. What are some of the big issues that you've either confronted this past year or that you anticipate for this coming year?
I don't like to anticipate any problems, but I certainly do want to make sure that we're not asleep at the wheel. We are certainly cognizant of things that are brewing, and we have staff members who are very closely working with the governor's office as well as with the General Assembly and keeping the ear to the ground so that we do make sure that we're ahead of and in front of what's coming down the pike. And I'll just give you one example, and it's the governor's, one of his signature items for education were the vouchers. And so that is something that we're not the ones who are pushing for that, but we certainly are the ones who will have to write the policies and rules centered around vouchers and how those will work. And then, of course, the governor, originally it was a two-year window to get ready for that, and then it's his decision to move the window up a year. And so then the state board does have to respond to that and be prepared to write the policy and rules centered around vouchers.
So tell everybody what vouchers would do. What's the big picture, the 10,000-foot view of a voucher?
I'll do the 10,000-foot view because I'm certainly not an expert in this regard, and that vouchers can look very differently across different states, and they certainly do. But from what the governor wants to do here in Tennessee is to provide, to have money set aside so that students who are living in districts where there are schools that are not performing well, that they're at the low end of the spectrum in terms of their performance, that students who live in those particular areas have access to a greater opportunity to choose a school that they want to go to where they can get that better education. And so it really is about equitable access for everyone. So we know that when students are living in rural areas, sometimes they may struggle to have the best opportunity because they're zoned to go to a particular school, and that sort of forces the parents to take that child to a particular school that is not performing as well as it should. So they're on the priority list, and schools on the priority list are not performing, and they're given a 3-year period of time to move off of that priority list. If they do not make it off the priority list, then they're certainly in danger of closing and or having a charter school come in and want to take over, if you will. Mm-hmm. A charter school can just not arbitrarily do that. The local school agency has to approve a charter to come into their district. So you have charters as an option, and you have vouchers where a student can choose to go to a private school. Their parents can choose to go that route. Now, the funding will be such that it may not pay fully for that tuition at a private school, as an example. So that would be between the parent and that school to determine if they're willing to take the amount of the voucher, which I believe is somewhere in the neighborhood of close to $7,000 a year per student.
Cool. Well, and I know the governor has also signaled, one, a very big concern for rural communities and rural counties, but he's also put a major emphasis on vocational education and career-related education. How does that affect State Board of Education and the K-12 system?
It would be very similar in that we would look at whatever the new rules are that we would have to write. Is there any changes that are warranted through the legislation? But we've not seen the final legislation yet on that. I know that grant opportunities have been issued for school districts to apply for funding for their career technical education programs. And so if there is a particular need in a particular district, they can choose whatever career technical form of education they want to provide to meet the local needs. So, for example, in Putnam County, it's academic. It's advanced manufacturing.
Sure.
That they would likely be choosing. And I have too much direct intel to know that that's probably the primary area they will focus on, as will some of our other counties, because that's where some of the greater employment numbers are.
Yeah.
And so they can apply for the what's called the GIVE Act grant that will allow them to have some funding to launch some new programs or supplement existing programs that already are in existence. So they may have an advanced manufacturing program, but maybe they have concentrated on mechatronics, but they also need to add welding, as an example, because that's an emerging need it's not so much emerging, but it's growing and changing.
It's a clear need all across our state.
It is an absolute need.
And career technical education, it fits right in the middle of a field that they make great money, and there's great job opportunities for them.
They do, and that's an important message to spread to students and to parents as well, because we sometimes send our students off to a 4-year institution, and that makes sense for many of our careers, but there are those that
Absolutely.
You can get a career technical education from our Tennessee College of Applied Technology or any of our 2-year institutions and still be highly successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get paid very well.
We are talking to Lillian Hartgrove, the chairperson of the State Board of Education and vice president of the Highlands Initiative, a Highlands Workforce Development Program at the Cookeville Putnam County Chamber of Commerce. The chamber is one of the key sponsoring organizations for that group. This is Local Matters. We are taking a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeSmart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Lillian Hartgrove, who is from Cookeville and serves as vice president of the Highlands Initiative, but also serves as chairperson of the Tennessee State Board of Education. Lillian, it's great to have you here, and we've talked about some important items already, but we're early in the school year, and I know on every parent's mind, almost every newscast we see, school safety is still a big part of what everybody needs to think about. How does the board work with school safety? I know it's much more of a county level activity, but what goes on at the board there, and what kind of comments do you have on school safety?
I'll start out by saying, just in general, my comments, obviously, in this day and age, I think we have to, at every level, do our due diligence ensuring that all of our schools are incredibly safe. And so it is at the local level, of course, but there, I think there is an important role that is played at the state level, especially when it comes to providing support in helping school districts do an individualized assessment over each of their schools to determine how safe they truly are and where there could be weaknesses and areas where they need to shore up all levels of safety or security. And I think our school districts do a great job, but sometimes they need additional help besides the fact of, let's do a survey and help design that survey for you. And the state board did not do that, but our team, and I mentioned to you earlier that we have our own staff, because I do have my day job, but we have the staff at the state board that do a lot of deep work with the Department of Education. So collectively, a survey was put together so that school districts would have access to this survey to help them think from A to Z every aspect of how they need to be viewing the safety components for their districts. And then with that information, they each school could see where there were vulnerabilities. And so through our basic education program, which is the funding formula for school districts, funding was put aside in that formula for school districts to have access to more funding to support their some of their gaps that existed. I'm hoping that will happen again this year, because safety continues to be a big area of emphasis, and it should be, it needs to be. Every one of us want our children and our grandchildren to go to school and know that they are safe and that, in fact, they're protected and they're not going to be worried about someone coming in and doing harm to them.
Yeah, it's an important topic, and we want to do all we can to support it. And I know here in Putnam County, there is a major countywide activity in the month of September that is focused on learning what they can learn about and always practicing to be better than they have been. Well, let's talk a little bit at the local level about this great multi-county partnership that is called the Highlands Initiative. It started as an economic development partnership, as you mentioned, but clearly one of the major points of emphasis is workforce development. And you've led that effort and been a big part of that for several years now. So tell us about the workforce development program a little bit.
Well, I'm happy to do that. And I certainly want to say that, you know, we all believe that workforce development is economic development. They go hand in hand, and one cannot exist without the other. And it is absolutely true that workforce is the number one priority of anybody, our local employers, as well as those who are looking to relocate. You know, you can have perfect land with all the right infrastructure or maybe the ideal building. However, if you cannot prove and demonstrate that you have the skilled workforce, then they simply will not come. And so whereas we may not be able to say we absolutely have every single employee that you want to hire ready to go right now, we're absolutely working to ensure that you do in the future. And this is a collaborative effort. This is not one person. It's not one organization. It takes willing partners, just like Mr. Jerry Boyd, who is the director of schools for Putnam County, Mr. Kurt Drombarger in White County, Dr. Mark Winningham in Overton County, and Miss Christy Brown in Jackson County, every day coming to the table and working with us and saying yes to new opportunities to make sure that their students know what is available in our region and that they're willing to make changes within the programs that they offer so that their students can be prepared while they're in school.
And the cool thing is they're sitting around the table with business leaders.
They are.
Representing all kinds of different business needs.
Exactly. And so to be able to have all of those groups come together and listen to one another and willingly listen and hear what's being said and then think about solutions and how can we now modify what we're offering or continue to offer what we are offering but add on top of that new programs so that we can demonstrate that we're ready to meet your needs. And so that's what we have. And the same is true with our higher ed partners, willing to see what is being said and coming up with solutions sometimes on the spot, or let me take that back and work with the team at the university or at the community college or the Tennessee College of Applied Technology and come up with solutions. And the other thing, too, is that the partnership even between the higher ed, among the higher ed partners is critically important, too, because when a student is in high school, they can be in dual enrollment and be getting certifications and being prepared to go directly into a TCAT right after high school. But they're getting dual enrollment from a TCAT or from Ball State Community College. And you want them to be able to leave high school with some credentials already in their hip pocket, ready to go, whether it's directly into the workforce or it's to go on to TCAT and get additional credentials or to transfer and get a two-year degree or a four-year, whatever makes sense because of what their trajectory right. is, or if they know they may start working right out of a TCAT at some place where the company then says, you're so good at what you're doing, I now want you to go back and get a four-year degree from Tennessee Tech. I want you to become an engineer, a chemical engineer, or whatever type of engineering track is important for that particular industry.
Yeah, it's really neat to see these different on-ramps and off-ramps associated with the Pathways program. Talk a bit about, you mentioned chemical engineering, so let's talk about advanced manufacturing and that pathway. That one is focused on industry, on either engineering or other phases of industry, but it's really wide-ranging. I mean, it includes things like welding and robotics, all the way up to chemical engineering.
Exactly. We have, just so the audience knows, we do have an advanced manufacturing subcommittee chaired by Becky Hull, who has been chairing that position for quite some time. She was formerly with Nashville State, then with Fall State, and now she works for workforce and labor at the state level. So she's a perfect person to be in that capacity.
And her husband is an engineer.
And her husband is an engineer, for sure. So she gets it. She understands it. And so this committee has been meeting for a number of years, and because of the work of this committee, it was determined that early on we would go into the mechatronics arena in our high schools because our directors of schools were willing to do that, to take on mechatronics. Dr. Myra West wrote a LEAP grant that allowed us to have funding to purchase the equipment to put in the high schools to be able to offer these programs in high school. But then you had that same equipment at the TCAT and at the Ball State Community College. So all along the way that they can still continue their education.
And until get some great hands-on experience.
Exactly. Mechatronics is not the only arena, as you said. It certainly is welding. But the committee continues to meet, and we continue to survey the employers so that we maintain a pulse on what's changing or where there are new needs that are cropping up, where there's a shortfall in the workforce. And so we're hearing that a lot in Tool and Die. And so our committee has been focused on what we need to do to help in that arena. We've talked about apprenticeship programs and writing particular programs to help in that space as well. And again, Dr. Myra West, who actually is the chairman of our steering committee, has helped to lead that effort for it as well. So
Myra has been really good at reaching out, not just in the manufacturing side, but in the in the healthcare side, and she's got some great healthcare programs too. And one of the other pathways focuses on the great careers in healthcare. You are doing just some phenomenal work keeping all this stuff together for the Highlands Initiative, and certainly the work you're doing at the State Department of Education is one of a kind. So we're honored that you took time to be on our program today, and we thank you for coming in.
Well, I am very honored that you invited me to be here, so thank you so much for that.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.